The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, renowned teacher and writer Dallas Willard argues the relevance of God to every aspect of our existence.
But what kind of attitude do I have towards chocolate cake? See, we're apt to say dumb things like we love chocolate cake. You don't love chocolate cake, you want to eat it.
Stay tuned and rediscover your hidden life in God with The Divine Conspiracy.
Thank all of you. Hey, you're great. Come join us sometimes. We normally tape on Tuesday evenings. Check with us and find out who our guests are. We've got Dallas Willard with us. I'm James Robinson. This is Betty. Dallas Willard is a professor at the University of Southern California. He's taught and lectured in several other universities. He comes from the same background I come from, what we call old fundamental Baptist background. It's not, I mean old, like you know, like it's old, but I mean like we've got the old heritage of the fundamentalist background. And I love what he said. He's dedicated one of the books, maybe this one, to the Giants.
Yeah.
I believe this one to Lee Robertson, to John R. Rice. I knew these men. Read my letter at John Rice's funeral. They didn't read a lot of Southern Baptist letters at the Fundamental Baptist funerals, but they loved me. They printed my messages in the Sword of the Lord. And Dallas Willard comes from the same background. He's an academic. He teaches in these great universities, in the University of Southern Cal in the philosophy and psychology department. But he wrote a book that I consider is important, and I've told you the two most important books I've read apart from the Bible is Money, Greed, and God by Jay Richards. Jay and I are writing a book right now. Be out early the next year. It's called Indivisible. And if the enemy can divide, he conquers. Jesus prayed for unity. Our founders understood what that meant, that we've lost the value of. And Jay and I are trying to capture that for you. This is a book every person who believes in the importance of faith, family, and freedom, including a free market that's healthy, not greed-driven, greed-vulnerable, but also responsible, demanding responsibility. And so we're trying to help you. But the two most important books, Money, Greed, and God, I've read, and The Divine Conspiracy by Dallas Willard. Dallas is here. I want you to welcome him back to life today. He's been here with us this week. Dallas, good to see you. Can I ask you, you say you've prayed for me for 40 years, you've kind of followed me, you watched some television, you and Jane a lot. Do I seem to be grasping some of what you're trying to deliver?
Yes, I think you are.
Is it working in me at all where it's obvious to anybody except maybe?
Well, I'd put it this way. Someone who had observed you much earlier and observed you now would wonder about your identity.
Well, I hope I lost it in Christ. I hope I didn't just lose my mind.
Well, it's a definite gain.
It's a game.
It's a game.
And did you like me? Did you like the first James?
Oh, I thought you set the world on fire.
Yeah. How do you explain what's going on in me? I mean, because it's been a process. It wasn't like everything's instant. You know, I told you in one of our conversations, I like instant fix. I like instant deliverance. Yeah. I don't know if I like this process and the disciplines and all that, but you said the processes, the progressive change is oftentimes far more meaningful.
Absolutely.
In character development than what we call this instant fix.
That's right. Human beings, both individually and in groups over history, only change slowly.
In a meaningful way.
In a meaningful way, in the sense of deep change.
Mm-hmm.
It's also true in going in the wrong direction. Like where we are today in our society, let's say, not just North American, but European, That is a process that has taken 75, 80 years.
This process away from God.
That's right.
Process
that's,
away from what we would call sound, unshakable foundational principles. We're moving away from it. It's almost into it looks like a system of insanity, as well as instability and insecurity.
I think it's true, but then you ask yourself, why do not people recognize that progression? And that's because over the generations, an understanding of what is right and good has changed, so that, for example, now there is no vision of good and evil or right and wrong that is teachable in higher education or lower education, for that matter.
Everything's relative.
Everything's relative in the profound sense that there really isn't a body of knowledge about what is good and evil and right and wrong that can be taught to people. Now, see, that is a change. I mean, you go back even right after the Second World War, people would have thought you were crazy if you said that. But over the generations of change, then it goes downhill. And
the things
now,
we accept as normal 50 years ago would have been off the charts.
Oh,
we would
yes.
have said this is the most, not only despicable and irrational,
right.
but this is not even within the realm of sanity. You can't, you're out
right.
of your ever-loving mind.
Right.
And yet now it's just absolutely fashionable.
Absolutely right. That's the way it goes. And fashionable is the word because now it's under social control of approval and disapproval. And that institutes itself in education and in the church, unfortunately, as well as government and so on. But now individuals change slowly too. And so, for example, if you come to a genuine experience of Christ, that's not going to change you automatically. Christmas Evans, an old Welsh evangelist, once said, "When I was a drunkard, I got in a fight and knocked my eye out. And when the Lord saved me, he didn't give me back my eye." And the truth of the matter is, when you get saved, that's the beginning of a process. That's why one reason why it's called a birth into the kingdom of the heavens. So life initiates itself, and now then we have a part in what happens after that. Many people have trouble with that because they misunderstand grace, and they think grace makes you passive. But the only way you grow is, of course, by the grace of God, but by intelligent engagement of your own activities. And you've gone through a lot of that in your life. And you have changed, not just because grace fell on you, but because you did some things to receive grace that has led to a transformation of the whole person.
Well, I began to apply the grace that was in me to specific areas of
yes.
my life. And I really don't think I've arrived. I still feel like I'm on a journey. Our friend John Wimber used to say, "The journey is the goal."
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm not looking at some target, like I'm going to reach this place. I'm pursuing a person.
Yes,
I'm trying to live in the shadow
right.
of this Shepherd, and
that's
walk
right.
with Him, and finding that He enables me to walk through the challenges. I have not found that everything that ever distracts, or let's say ever attracts me, suddenly just is totally gone necessarily. I will say, now, why is that disturbing? Let's just take really, let's be real honest without being critical. So I don't want anybody to think I'm being critical, but our appetites, even in our poor people are obese. You know, the people in poverty level, they're obese, so they're certainly not
problem.
Starving because they're big. And so the point is, something's wrong with our appetite control.
Right.
And it's not being critical, but I see a lot of people hurting their health. Well, this natural, I find that the natural appetites or attractions seem to require the greatest infusion of supernatural enabling to deal with them. Does that make sense?
No, that's right. And that's why one needs to train themselves. Like, for example, the function of fasting is to teach you how to be sweet and kind when you don't get what you want.
Right? My.
Yeah.
Blood church people never heard that, sir.
Well, I'm afraid not.
Some of you get their place in the pew or their parking place, or you don't let them off the parking lot, you could have a riot.
But see, that's where training comes in. Now, you see, you have changed a lot over the years in your desires.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I, for example, when I was young, I used to like, I had a BB gun, and I used to like to shoot out street lights.
Mm.
But I no longer have any inclination. Now, it's a helpful illustration.
That's deliverance, brother.
But it's a helpful illustration when you see what's working there. Mm-hmm. See, I think differently about streetlights now. Mm-hmm. And my desires are different.
Amen.
So I didn't get out of that by saying, I won't shoot out that streetlight. Now, you know that's how it works in growth in Christ.
Yeah.
And I look at what he taught and I say, the reason he taught me that is because it's a really good thing, mm-hmm. a really good thing. And so now, well, I didn't think that at first, but then I said, teach me, Lord. Mm-hmm. And over a period of time, and I don't mean 50 years, you learn quickly. And you learn how to do this by transforming the mind mm-hmm. and the body.
And that's the Word of God.
Yes.
And being, I think, around people who are serious about God.
That's right.
I wrote a tweet the other day that I feel like came from reading The Divine Conspiracy and just some of the things you've said, and that is that when it comes to temptation, mm-hmm. Temptation will not walk away from us. Mm-hmm. We must, by choice, walk
yes,
away from it.
That's right.
It seems that, you know, you by choice, you quit shooting the streetlights. Now you don't care anything about shooting the streetlights, mm-hmm. so the old neighborhood's glad. And the thing is that really you still begin that process of by choice walking away.
Right.
The natural is not necessarily easy to say no to. You know, that Paul talked about this struggle
that's right.
within that's going on. And this is where, if I hear you correctly, and if I understand what the message of the Divine Conspiracy, he is inviting us into this awareness of who he is and he's king, mm-hmm. where the awareness of it, I call it spiritual gravity, mm-hmm. the weight of his presence. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have to think about oxygen. Mm-hmm. I just get up and it's here. I take it in and I get the full benefits of it. Mm-hmm. If we could become as aware, because the spiritual realm is invisible, it affects everything visible. Sure. But if we just become aware of the weight of his presence is here, breathe it in, take it in, mm-hmm. it seems to me like I have a keener awareness yeah. of appropriate responses from the king's perspective.
Right.
Is that at
yes.
all
right.
grasping and, what you're saying?
And a part of the dynamics of this, James, are temptation itself becomes uninteresting.
Now, a lot of people would like to know that's just really a fact. You know?
Well, you have... But
well,
if
I mean,
you
just take food. I mean, you know, chocolate cake is all good stuff right. and all that. Jane, did you have any chocolate cake or anything around here? The stuff will talk to you, Jane. I don't know if you know that, but it'll talk. Maybe you and Dallas don't hear it anymore. But these things are strong. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, I'm serious about
this. No, I know, but you...
This is not like stuff.
That's just your habit.
Well,
that's
I know
just
that,
your habit.
Dadgum, it's a good habit. I mean, it's good old stuff.
No, well, that's why, you see, we have to come to see that it is not a good habit.
Oh, it's not a good habit.
It's not a good habit.
So what would make it not a good habit when it tastes so good?
Well, it will hurt you.
Oh, it'll hurt you.
Right.
Who says?
The doctor says.
So really...
we can still, we still have to make the choice.
And we do indeed.
To and, what and, is right.
Now, mm-hmm. and see, not just make the choice about whether I will eat the chocolate cake now, but what kind of attitude do I have towards chocolate cake? Mm-hmm. See?
Yeah.
We're apt to say dumb things like, we love chocolate cake. You don't love chocolate cake, you want to eat it. And that's actually very different from loving it. When you love
it. Why is it so much easier for Betty to say no to these things like that than it seems to be for me? What's the deal with her? I mean, what's this deal?
I would estimate, and since I don't know
you... Tell us what you really think.
No, she has decided that that's the way it's going to be. That she is not going to be... She's not going to be governed by that.
She has.
See. Now, you have, in spiritual growth, you have three things. Vision, mm-hmm. intention, and means. You have to see the goodness of not being the victim of chocolate cake. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to decide you will not be the victim of that. And then you have to take the means by which you implement that intention to enjoy the vision. And the means might be things like simply staying away from it. Or more generally, learning that you don't have to have what you want to eat.
I want that true in every area of my life mm-hmm. where it's a concern to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you love me so much. And I want that for you. It's the reason that James and Betty don't need to be sitting here. Ask Betty. She don't need to be sitting here. She says, you take me kicking and screaming to the studio every time I go. She doesn't look like she's kicking and screaming. She says, this is not what I'm doing. I'm going to go home. I'm going to be home. You know, I like to be alone. I like to be with you or his family. We don't need what we do. You need what we do. I love you. You see, you don't even see me. You saw me, you wouldn't like me. Well, I would want the kind of love coming from me to you that if you saw something in me that you really were hurt by, you'd say, I sure love you, James. I want to help be a part of your healing process. So I want that for you. And I can't fix everything that ails you. I can't touch all the poor and heal the brokenhearted. I can't, but he can. And he starts by working in you. And this is really what I just saw so clearly, so beautifully in the Divine Conspiracy. It's why I asked Dallas to come and talking to him. He's been a blessing to me. We're sitting here because he loves you, not because we need something to do. We love you. And we will freely ask you to join us loving others because you really begin to live life. I've said it many times. It's catchy, but it's true. You live life fully when you express life freely. You just love to release the river. Whatever little river you have, you think, however unimportant this little widow's mite is, Jesus says, just yield who you are, what you have to me, and watch what happens. That's the kingdom now, isn't it?
That's right.
That's the kingdom of heaven and the presence of God now, and it's what I want for you. We want it for all of you. A prayer, you see the line there, paid for by love. People watching who just love people say, I'll pay that 800 call for people. Do you see anybody pray with them? Well, you call. Mm-hmm. And we just love you. I encourage you to get the Divine Conspiracy. I tell you what, Dallas has been with us this week. We'll be glad to send it to you. It's quite a big book. It's great. We'll send it to you. Here's what we're asking you to do, though, and I don't apologize for this. Help us touch someone with love today. Would you say thanks to Dallas Willard for coming, for writing the Divine Conspiracy, for writing Hearing God, the Spirit of the Disciplines, all the books that Dallas has written. You have a website if people want to know all the things that you have, Dallas. Where would they go?
dwillard.org.
All right, so they can find out other materials and things, of where you're going to speak and so forth.
Right, and everything on there is free.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we don't usually do that. We say, get involved. You know, I'm not near as generous as you.
I'm growing
in his kingdom life.
Okay.
But, you know, really and truly, and can I thank you for not scolding me? You know, I had one lady say she found my epitaph in the Bible. I said, really? She said, it's in Luke. I said, what does it say? She said, and the beggar died. She said, that's what they need to put on your tombstone. Well, you know, I'll always plead the cause of the widows, the orphans, and the suffering, and thank you for not scolding me. As a matter of fact, you all encourage me because you tell me we like to help rescue people. Would you help us rescue some precious people from being sold into sex trafficking? Would you help us? I want you to watch this. I want you to listen to God's heart through missionaries and through co-laborers. Listen closely.
This is Pia, and she's so beautiful. I hate to see her get kidnapped and taken by human traffickers, but that's happening all around the world.
Ngalo ngado sika alagane, ngado mone kasi amne ngano macho yaya kai. Cece hule ngaji laga ngaji lece dole.
Many of these little girls are sold into the slave trade. Sexual prostitution. If something doesn't happen to rescue this little girl off the street, then when she gets just a little bit older, somebody will take her and exploit her.
You know, I'm here and I'm saying, why should this little precious, innocent girl be violated. We don't know tomorrow, a week from now, a year from now. I can't even. It's unthinkable. And you know what's devastating is that it's possible. Let's get these kids off the street. They're asking me why I'm crying. It's for them, God's children. I just need a break.
You know, we've watched the missionaries and our workers that go at our request all over the world to see the things firsthand that Betty and I've seen, and that they can bring another perspective. And Betty, I wouldn't be able to watch this like Kathy couldn't. I mean, there's so many times it was just easy to go away and just weep and then say, I don't want to see it anymore. And Betty and I never were able to go away and not want to see it, because we knew we could change it. Love could change it, and it does. And Betty, the missionaries that are there in the midst of that suffering, whether it's in India, whether it's on the streets where children have been left abandoned, or whether it's in Thailand or other countries of the world, some we don't even mention because we would endanger the missionaries, but we're able to take those children who've been abandoned and give them a home and give them a future and get many of them out of the trafficking because they want out. And the missionaries are so wise in their dealings that we're able to do it. And all they need, and this is the amazing thing, in order to do it, they just need our support. Mm-hmm. And what we try to do is we find somebody that's doing it in an effective way and undergird them. We don't try to go in and duplicate something. We find where God's enabling and gifting, and we call it the anointing or touch of God, the divine enabling to do something and the love to do it. And then we undergird them so they can stay at the work. And our viewers have been able to do that. Betty, I couldn't look, as Kathy was, if I didn't know we could change it. And when I say we, that would include the viewers, because that's the only way we can give those children a future hope is for somebody to help us do it.
That's right. And, you know, James, I guess the thing that really touched me as I was watching was when that little girl said, I cry myself to sleep. Why does she do that? Because there's no one there to comfort her and give her hope and help her come out of the life that she was forced into. We can be the ones that can reach out and make the difference in the lives of these precious children, James. Most of them never had a choice of that life. But we can help bring them out if we will care, if we will give them hope through our caring and sharing. I hope you will join with us, and let's be able to comfort them when they weep and let them know that they can soon have a smile because someone cares.
Well, because someone like you cared, we've been able to join together and build incredible life centers like the one in Thailand. It's one of the most beautiful facilities I've ever seen. And the most beautiful part of it is the children learning. They learn to speak English, they learn how to study, they learn how to do crafts, they learn how to make a future. Some of them have gone on, and some of them gone on into universities and have actually graduated and become teachers themselves over the last years. We've been working with these people like this for nearly 20 years. We've joined with Mark Rutland, who's now the president of Oral Roberts University, in helping him in the House of Grace. So we've been involved for a long time, but the Great Thailand Center is incredible. And we're renting facilities in all the other areas. Some, like I said, we can't name that community because we could jeopardize the safety of the mission workers. But what it takes in order to rescue a child or rescue someone out of that is an average of $128. So what we want to ask you to do is you help us rescue a life. $1,280, we can rescue 10. And I'm really asking if you can do that. I'll be honest with you. We really need people to step up and say, you know what? I've been blessed. I'm blessed to bless. We'll help you rescue 10 or more. We want to send the beautiful Heart of the Father bronze as a great art piece and collectible, great artist gifted to bless you, to say thank you for helping others. We're going to send the Butterfly Effect by Andrew Andrews. It's that incredible best-selling book. Talks about the importance of one person, even a butterfly. You're important. Would you dial that number and take your bank card? Please use it like a check. That's how you should always use it. But please, right now, make the best gift you can. Go online, lifetoday.org, and make the gift God puts on your heart. Would you do that? If you want to write a check, make it to Life. But call us and tell us you're mailing it. We need to hear from you this week. Real important. We need to hear from everyone. Wherever you are, would you do something to help? Would you rescue life? Thank you for sharing God's love.
Human trafficking. It's hard to believe it's happening. But at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your support of Mission Rescue Life, you can help rescue more than 5,000 children from the horrors of the sex trade in parts of Thailand, India, Cambodia, and other targeted nations. Together, we can reach vulnerable families and children by providing much-needed food and relief. We can rescue those already ensnared by offering them a way out. And we can restore their hearts, minds, and bodies to enable them to enjoy life as God intended. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their life forever. And with gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your gifts with others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of this lifestyle. As our way of saying thank you, please request The Butterfly Effect, How Your Life Matters. The story of this book reveals how you were specially created by God to make a difference and have the power to change the world. As a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,280 to help rescue 10 children. With your gift, be sure to request Heart of the Father, our beautiful new bronze sculpture that demonstrates God's fatherly love for us as His children. Call, write, or make your gift online today.
I do want to remind you of the butterfly effect, Andy Andrews. It's great. It's how God can use even a butterfly, literally start waves of healing and motion, or storm power. It's amazing, the influence. The Divine Conspiracy, Dallas Willard. It's one of the most important books. I say it's of the two most important I've read in the last years. And I'd like to send it to you if you just simply help us rescue life. Join Betty and me again saying real sincere thanks to Dallas Willard. Dallas, thank you so much. God bless you. Jane, God bless you up here. We love you. Thank you for praying for me, for Dallas, for Betty, for all we do. Thank all of you for watching Life Today and for helping us share life every day.
Next week, the founding pastor of LifeChurch.tv, a pace-setting multi-campus church that is leveraging technology to change the world, shares his passion. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.